So what we did is we sent our appeal in with a photocopy of the FBI and the IRS CID on their jackets removing boxes from the Clinton Foundation after they had brought a 757 down and taken all the materials out of the Clinton Foundation, Little Rock, Arkansas. We sent that with our appeal to demonstrate to the IRS that your letter coming from Atlanta doesn't reconcile with what's going on in Little Rock.
Thomas Paine Podcast, number 8. Is it 8 already?
Jesus.
Hey, we got a lot of stuff going on today. The Department of Justice is in total chaos. Christmas in February. Oh man, good stuff. Couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of creeps, to tell you the truth. We're going to be addressing that. We're going to be breaking some news today too, man. You know how I feel about that. I'm all about breaking news. Yep, that's what we do. Well, there we go. The best minute and 20 seconds of the week with my 70s police cop show intro. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. I know I say that every week, but it really is a lot of stuff going on this week. And today, Tuesday, was completely insane in Washington. A lot of breaking news revolving around the Department of Justice or the Department of Injustice, depending on how you feel about it. You know how I feel about it and where I stand on it. I've talked so much on the phone today, and we did a Patreon show earlier tonight. I've been talking all day like a fool. Now I know what it's like to be on Fox. You guys thought I was going to lead off with an old FBI clip about J. Edgar Hoover. I've been doing that for the last couple weeks. People are like, oh, I really like those. And today I said, boom, I'm going to change it up. Throw it, people a curveball out there. That was from a House oversight meeting on the Clinton Foundation. So you can imagine where we're going to be going with this. But very interesting. And that came 4 months after True Pundit reported that there was a 757 owned by the Justice Department that was parked on a runway in Little Rock, Arkansas, and federal agents were loading boxes of evidence onto it. The story broke in August 2008, and people said, oh, you're crazy. You're making stuff up. They weren't loading evidence. That's not a Justice Department plane. We traced the tail number. It belongs to the Justice Department. We traced the flight. Left from Virginia and ended up in Little Rock, Arkansas. Then people were taking film and pictures of the FBI and the IRS, Criminal Investigation Division, loading boxes on, coming from the Clinton Foundation. And then, you know, it came out 6 months later, 5 months later in this congressional hearing, and people were like, oh, you guys were right. Well, you're still full of crap, but you always seem to be right. I mean, you can't stop trying to impress these people a long time ago, and we just decided we're just going to do what we do, let the chips fall where they may. This isn't a beauty contest, because if it was, we'd win every damn time compared to some of these other journalists out there. But yeah, it's not a beauty contest. It's not a popularity contest. We don't really give a shit if you like us or not. We're on a mission from God. Where have we heard that before? But yeah, we have a certain mission. We want to disassemble the FBI and dismantle the Justice Department so they can be rebuilt again in the strength and likeness the founding fathers had in mind, not this corrupt circus that it has morphed into. That's our mission. So being popular, being the cool kid, being invited to talk at these big events, CPAC and other stuff, fuck that. Well, I do my talking on here. That's where I'm going to be doing my talking. If people want to listen to what I have to say, jump on board, man. I'm happy to share whatever wisdom I have on certain topics with you. That's what we're going to be doing again today. You don't need to spend $400 or $500 at some event to come see me talk. We'll just do it here every week. Maybe you can throw us a couple bones. Buy a book. Help us pay for a few cup of noodles. Keep the lights on. FBIPajamas.com. Jump on there and grab a book. You don't have to spend $400 to listen to me talk. That's the one thing that gets me about these events. You hear these bird brains talk every night on Fox and other things for free. But if you want to go to an event to see them talk somewhere, you have to spend $300, $400, $500 to get in. Plus, you got to pay for a hotel. What in the Sam hell is going on here? None of these people are very interesting, with the exception of the president. That's one thing, but you can hear these guys talk all day. That's all they do is talk. Blah, 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 blah. That's all they do is talk. Now they want you to pay $400 or $500 to hear them talk? Get out of here. Beat it. Hey, come hear me talk. It costs $300 or $400. Yeah, I'll get right on that. So we're fresh off the heels of the New Hampshire primary. And I don't think the votes from the Iowa caucus have even been tabulated yet. The vote count there is slower than a Stephanopoulos growth spurt. It's just, I don't know what happened in Iowa, but they're definitely in the tank for the Dems. They ruined the caucus. I said RIP Iowa caucus. You can't even make that stuff up. That's corruption illustrated, corruption, getting a glimpse, corruption personified. It seems to me that they want to tank the whole thing and then have some kind of brokered convention and somebody comes in at the last minute. Gee, I wonder who's going to come in at the last minute and save the day that's not already in the race. Who could that be? Boy, I wonder. Who keeps always popping up in these things? It's like a monster movie. The Clintons, they just won't go away. Let's just see how it plays out. But I think that with the way it's kicked off in Iowa, it's very problematic. It's beyond a head scratcher. With these folks, everything is done for a reason, believe me. So, I have to work in these promotional things that help keep the lights on. Number one, if you want to help the show and you like what we're doing, the best way to do that right now is to buy the paperback, How We Dismantled the FBI in Our Pajamas. That's on Amazon. And if you follow FBIPajamas.com, it'll take you right there. Buy the paperback. That's the best way to benefit what we're doing. Also, rate us on iTunes or your podcast platform that you're on and give us a rating. And if you want to say some kind words, you can say that. And if you want to say some bad words, I guess you're free to do that too. It's called the First Amendment. But that's another way to help us. You can find us at our news at truepundit.com. On Twitter, I'm at Thomas1774Payne, and we're also at True_Pundit. That's Twitter. We're on Facebook too, True Pundit News on Facebook. Also have a Patreon page. I think there's like 70 or 80 video shows of me talking for an hour, hour and a half about politics for the last year and a half. Most shows are about 90 minutes. That's at patreon.com/truepundit. That's another thing that you can benefit us. And we appreciate it. We really do. And that's what keeps us going. That's what funds us. And so those are the plugs. Again, FBI pajamas. We have an offer, $50 gift card when you buy the paperback. And you can either play this back or just go to FBIPajamas.com. Or it's been at the top of my Twitter page, Thomas1774 Payne, for about a month now. I keep plugging it because we have to try to keep the lights on and that kind of stuff. And we appreciate it. So, without further ado, let's get moving on this stuff. Just real quick, I thought about last week's interview with Josephine Terry. We had two interviews in a row, so we're going to take a break from that this week, this format, this week, because there's a lot to speak about and there's things I want to get to. And I wanted to lay the groundwork for that opioid OxyContin podcast that's in the works. I listened to Josephine Terry last week, and I didn't want to say anything to her because, don't forget, okay, maybe if I was 30 years younger, a reporter, I might have said something to her on the fly, but she's a mom who lost her son. So time gives you a little bit of perspective when it comes to that stuff. And you, when you learn that time is not a limitless commodity, the older we get, the more precious time is. But speaking with her and the way she was saying things that I don't think she's ever said to anybody, at least I haven't seen them anywhere published, the things she said in episode 7. To me, although I wouldn't say it to her because I don't want to upset her, it sounds like her son may have been targeted by the Justice Department. That maybe his death wasn't just random by some illegal guy with a Justice Department gun. To me, putting that out there, it would be an avenue worth pursuing if I was going to investigate it. Specifically because he had written letters to superiors saying that there was schemes going on and things like that. He told his mom, he thought something bad was going to happen to him physically, but he wouldn't elaborate because he didn't want to give up sensitive classified information. And then the guy ends up dead, and he was keeping a secret journal hidden away about the schemes, these gun running schemes that the Justice Department was taking part in. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that maybe this just wasn't like a random thing that happened to the guy. That's 35 years experience doing this kind of stuff, speaking. It's not like a conspiracy theory. The reason I didn't say anything to her about that, and if she's listening now, okay, is that what the hell is the point? Because with that experience comes the fact that on the fly, I can recognize, what if he was taken out because they were afraid he was going to rat on guys or go public with this scheme, this illegal scheme, the Holder Obama cartel, right? Who's going to do anything about it anyhow? You think the Justice Department is going to investigate to see if this guy was targeted? Are you for real? They covered up the very fact that he was even killed with a gun that came from the Justice Department. You know, when he died, the Terry family had to figure out what happened. they had other Border Patrol agents say, hey, this just wasn't like the guy got gunned down at a traffic stop. The Justice Department was hiding it from them. What's to say that there's not more to the story that they're hiding? And these people are arch fucking criminals, man. Don't put it past them. This isn't like conspiracy theory stuff. These guys are arch criminals. Period. Career criminals. Professionals. Like I said, they make Bernie Madoff look like he was selling Thin Mints in a Girl Scout uniform. It's crazy. Just putting that out there, it's probably one of the reasons the episode last week did so well with downloads and folks listening, because it doesn't take a genius to connect the dots on something like this. Now that we have the, again, perspective of time, this happened 9 years ago. And while it may have seemed like a stretch 9 years ago, look what we know about the Department of Justice and the FBI in that span of time. Frightening. These guys went from television and movie heroes to complete reality star zeros. We all know what they're about. They run their own cartel. They use Hollywood. They use television to paint a completely different picture about how they really operate. But in recent years, since Trump has shown up on the scene and folks like True Pundit have shown up on the scene, to drive a different narrative. This is reality. These guys are fucking criminals. A license to protect the rich. A license to protect the famous. At the expense of everybody else. You screw up out here and you're not in the club, they'll ruin your life. You screw up and you're in the club, no worries. You're just going to have to do them some favors down the road. This is textbook corruption, folks. This is how it works. Now we've gotten woke. Whoa, I used that word again. Woke. Crazy. Yeah. We're woke now. Whatever the hell that means, right? We know what's up. And for some of my pet peeves with Trump, without him, we wouldn't be here, because he's really helped us pull the curtain back to see what's going on, because they did it to him. And there's a large portion of the country that doesn't want to admit that these guys are crooked, but come on, this is like common sense now. They're probably going to get away with it. It's no big deal. They get away with everything. The whole in crowd, the haves always get the elites, the establishment hacks who are rich and famous and connected and compromised and leaned on and whatever. They always get away with it, right? These two guys, Moynihan and Doyle, I played at the top of the show, the intro of the show, financial investigators who turned over a lot of information to the Clinton Foundation, and then were invited to testify. Congressman, GOP Congressman Mark Meadows, when he ran the Oversight Committee in the House, they were invited to testify and debrief everybody on how deep this corruption goes. I want to play this testimony for you and set this up, because it's very important that you get a flavor of what the hell is going on here. And what a massive criminal cartel. And we're going to break some news here shortly, but I want to get into this, okay? And the people here are saying you have to work in a plug for the book. You have to work in a plug for the book. I understand that. I guess we'll do that now. Hey, a plug with music. Cool. FBIPajamas.com. Another plug to help us out, to help underwrite our efforts here on the podcast, the website, and beyond. How we dismantled the FBI in our pajamas. That's how you can do it. Purchase the book. We appreciate it. Is that it? Oh, yeah. $50 gift card for shirts, hats, hoodies. When you purchase it, send a screenshot of it. Is this like the dating game? Send a screenshot of your Amazon order to promo@truepundit.com. And pick bachelor number one, bachelor number two, or bachelor number three. Hey, Chuck Woolery. Yeah. Okay, enough for that. I'm so hepped up. I want to tell you guys all about this because it's very important. It's very telling and it's very insightful, I think. And the breaking news is, to me, it vindicates some of the stuff that we've been doing for the last several weeks, telling you about this massive scandal, massive Clinton embezzlement, it's not even embezzlement, it's just massive Clinton fraud, defrauded the U.S. government of billions. We're putting all this together behind the scenes, right? U.S. government, other governments, other nonprofits, they stole from everybody. Trying to wrap this up in a nice little bow and explain everything to you piece by piece. It's difficult because it's such a massive fraud. Massive. I'm going to play this testimony for you from these guys. They came in and they dropped a bomb on Mark Meadows and his committee, saying the Clinton Foundation owes the IRS $2.5 billion at least in taxes. That's a lot of money that they defrauded the U.S. government of $2.5 billion. And Moynihan and Doyle, their angle is, we're financial investigators. We put in a false claim act to the IRS. We get a percentage of everything you get back from the Clinton Foundation. So they get 10, 15% of the amount. The IRS decides that, hey, yeah, you're right. They owe us this money, and we're going to go get it, and you're going to get a piece of it. I want you to listen to Meadows' tone. And he also talks about Huber. Remember, everybody trusts Huber, trusts Sessions, this whole crew of people. Listen to what Huber did not do to investigate the Clinton Foundation. That's actually scary. Okay, let's roll this, and we'll come back on the other side, and we'll get into some deep dive into this stuff, as well as break some related news.
We asked you, what does that mean? And we asked you for a copy of that letter from the IRS. Mm-hmm. Why won't you give us a copy since you did receive a letter of preliminary denial?
Because we're in an appeal status right now.
You're appealing the denial.
Yeah, so they actually encourage you. They actually say in the letter, please submit an appeal. They actually ask you, please submit an appeal as if we're wrong. So what we did is we sent our appeal in with a photocopy of the FBI and the IRS CID on their jackets removing boxes from the Clinton Foundation after they had brought a 757 down and taking all the materials out of the Clinton Foundation, Little Rock, Arkansas. We sent that with our appeal to demonstrate to the IRS that your letter coming from Atlanta doesn't reconcile with what's going on in Little Rock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The chair recognizes himself. So I want to do a little follow-up here. So your conversations with the special agents in Little Rock, Arkansas, Mr. Doyle, was that you?
That was me.
All right, and so your conversations with them, they acknowledged they had received your and the pages of documents. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And did they acknowledge any work that they're doing with that, either directly or indirectly?
Did not comment.
So they just said, thank you for the submission.
Well, it was a very cordial, professional conversation. I can't comment. Thank you very much. You know, we were very, very grateful for your efforts.
Then what makes you believe that there's a criminal investigation out of Little Rock then? If that's the extent of it.
I spoke to him twice. I spoke to him in August and then again in October.
All right. So what would make you think that there's a criminal investigation, Mr. Doyle? I mean, if it was just cordial, I mean, then why would you believe that there's...
In the August conversation, he said this is an open and ongoing situation.
All right. So he said this is an open and ongoing... investigation or situation or matter?
I apologize. Investigation.
All right. So it was an open and ongoing investigation that he couldn't comment on.
Yes.
So that would indeed indicate that there's an investigation.
And Chairman, look, I worked for the DEA. I do work all over the world in these cases still. The fact that they followed up with a second inquiry, not just, hey, thanks, don't let the door hit you on the way out, but then they follow up again. That's not the sign of a closed investigation.
I get that, Mr. Moynihan, but I can't take your experience at the DEA, and I appreciate the thought, but the other part of that is, Mr. Doyle, if they said there was an open and ongoing investigation, that's what you recall that they said?
That is what I recall to the best of my memory.
And so... So if indeed there's an open and ongoing investigation and you've given the information to them, why would the IRS not view that as substantial?
Well, that's...
Did they know that there was an open and ongoing investigation?
We sent a picture to the IRS.
I heard that.
Right, so they know. That some part of the IRS knows.
That in our appeal letter.
In your appeal. All right.
And to that point, Congressman... The IRS individual was, I would say, more than mildly surprised at our interaction with the FBI.
All right. Why do you think Mr. Huber waited until November the 30th to call you about four letters that you had sent prior? Because you had sent one on the 14th, the 18th, the 29th. Those were in April, 29th of May, as I recall, and October the 10th or 12th, based on what I understand. Why did they wait until November 30th to give you a call?
We don't know.
Do you think it might have had to do with the fact that you're coming here to testify?
Well, I mean, this testimony invitation just came recently. I don't know why.
They were fully aware because we had asked them to come and be a witness at this particular hearing, and then all of a sudden you get a phone call from Mr. Huber's, what, second in command? Is that correct?
I don't know if he's the second, but he was clearly an assistant U.S. attorney dealing directly with Mr. Huber.
So I find it just very coincidental that on November 30th, a few days before the hearing, after they had been noticed that we wanted them to come and testify, all of a sudden they would start following up. So, Mr. Doyle, what did they say about the documents that you had provided them? Did they have them all?
Congressman, he said that we are reviewing your material. I asked him if he could comment if further beyond that, if this was open and ongoing. He said, we are reviewing your material. He called me back a few hours later, asked specifically about, you know, one exhibit, and then asked further if you could, you know, do you have these on a disk? I said, I have them on a thumb drive. Would you like them? Please resend them. So I resent the thumb drive that afternoon.
So was that the first time that Mr. Huber and his team actually got the documents from you, Mr. Doyle?
That was the third time.
Third time.
So you're telling me that on November 30th, they called you back and they couldn't find the first two submissions that you had made to the Department of Justice and Mr. Huber, that they wanted you to send them again?
Is that what
you're telling me?
We're concluding that ourselves. That's what we concluded.
And it was just... What I've been told by DOJ, which I do not believe, just to be frank, is that this was the normal process of following up on recent correspondence.
Yes. Right.
And so they didn't respond to your April 4th letter. They didn't. didn't respond to the letter later in April. They didn't respond to the May 29th letter, and they finally responded to your October 10th letter a few days before a hearing that was coming up.
Correct.
That is correct.
Do you think that that shows the level of interest that a special prosecutor would show?
We don't know his caseload, but quite frankly, we're disappointed that 3 years' level of effort goes into this. We are not paparazzi. We are not the media. We don't want anybody even know who we are and the work that we do. We're financial investigators. That's what we do. We get paid to do this for a living. We work for ourselves. We don't get paid by anybody else.
And Congressman,
so it's disappointing that it took that long
to
hear from them.
We shared our materials not only with the attorney office in Salt Lake, also in Little Rock, but other U.S. attorneys' offices as well that had been indicated as, you know, providing support or working on Clinton-related matters. We also shared our materials with the U.S. Postal Inspection Service. So various jurisdictions that we felt would be interested both at the state and federal level.
Right. And you've shared all of those documents with those entities, and yet you somehow do not believe that you should share it with Congress and the American people?
Well, this
answer that one for me, Mr. Monahan.
I'll answer it.
I want to hear this because, quite frankly,
are you going to prosecute the Clintons? Are you going to bring an action against the Clintons that would yield us economic consortium? I don't think you are. Those entities.
But I thought, hold on to your testimony. Don't get cute with me because I promise
I'm telling you the truth.
I promise you. I thought you said you were all about the rule of law. That was in your opening statement.
We
all
are,
about justice and truth.
And that's why we've presented to the law enforcement agencies, which you're not.
Mr. Moynihan, let me just say this. We have an oversight responsibility, and I can assure you that when you come in here, it is incumbent upon you to be open and transparent. Mm-hmm. And we can make criminal referrals just like anybody else. Now, we cannot prosecute. You're exactly right. But what I can tell you is this, is that when you come before us and you've shared it with all kinds of entities, and to not actually listen to my good friend to my right here and say, you deserve to see the same evidence that we've shared with others, I don't find how that actually provides a good foundation for truth and transparency.
It's just, I think we're looking at this from completely different perspectives. We are financial investigators. We do cases. We present our evidence to those jurisdictions, in this case, the IRS, that would bring a case. That's not what you do. So that's why we present it to them and not to you.
Okay. Well, I can assure you that we do have something here that will compel us to get the information, either from you or from the agencies.
Sure.
And I can assure you that we will, so that my good friend to my right and the entire committee can review these documents and make their own claim.
We welcome that from you.
Final question. Mr. Doyle, you said anywhere from $400 million to $2.5 billion might be subject to taxation, were improperly used in a charitable foundation named the Clinton Foundation. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And it could be all of it?
It could be all of it.
All right. If there's no further business before the committees, the committee stands adjourned.
Yeah, what you're seeing unravel here is a massive government cover-up to provide protection for the Clintons and everybody involved. There's a lot of people involved. Friends of the elites. Meadows. It's very telling to listen to Meadows in this. Meadows invites these guys, Moynihan and Doyle, to testify, and then he ends up berating them when he can't get his way, like a little fucking kid. And for all you guys who watch Fox and Hannity, and you see Meadows on there, you say, oh, this guy's like a champion. These guys are all bullshit artists. They invite these guys to talk about how the Clinton Foundation is a criminal cartel. And Meadows ends up siding with his Democratic cohorts on this committee and attacking the two people that they invite to provide evidence. It's really unbelievable. And the reason I know Moynihan, we go back, friends of friends of friends, when he was in DEA in Manhattan and I was running with DEA. He was a supervisor of those guys. And those guys were crazy because I was fucking crazy. And we were all crazy. We were all, 24, 25, 23, 26. For a number of years running around Manhattan. And they were piping intel to me at the newspaper. And I was breaking scoops on all kind of stuff. And it was a lot of fun. And I cherish those days. So I know where this guy came from. Obviously, he comes from Boston, right, with his accent. But this guy has been through the system. And he knows what I know. We both know. Let me explain it to you. They end up testifying about the Clintons and that they're basically running a criminal cartel. And that they gave this information to everybody under the sun, law enforcement-wise, and nothing has happened, okay? Instead of Meadows, who's the chairman at the time of the House Oversight Committee, instead of him saying, yeah, we need to look into this, and we need to find out why Huber didn't do jack squat for a number of years on this case, and pretended that he was doing something, and Jeff Sessions pretended that they were doing something to investigate the Clinton Foundation, when it was just basically a cover-up. I mean, Moynihan says that, and Meadows even alludes to that, but instead of Meadows saying, yeah, we need to hold the government's feet to the fire, he attacks these guys for not giving them this oversight committee all the documentation that they provided law enforcement. Now, this is problematic on a couple different levels. One, if law enforcement has open cases on this, which they did at the time, why would Moynihan and Doyle provide fact testimony, fact documents, fact witnesses to obstruct the investigations? What do you think these guys on the House Oversight Committee are going to do with the documents? You think they're going to take the documents and it's going to be, oh, we need to follow these leads and uphold truth, justice in the American way? No, let me tell you how that works. They take the information that's in these documents, the same stuff that law enforcement can have, and they start brokering it out the back door to their cronies for favors, maybe even for money. Okay? I know it sounds crazy, but this is how it works. So that the Clintons and anybody else involved that are their buddies can cover their ass. So that if the feds are looking at this, and there are criminal cases, criminal investigations, they already have a heads up so they can destroy evidence, lean on witnesses. Hey, maybe even some key witnesses disappear. Vince Foster style. Sal Cincinnati FBI style. Jeffrey Epstein style. And the list goes on and on, okay? Now, Moynihan was a Fed. And he was a good Fed. And a bright guy, and he still is, obviously, but he's not going to give them this stuff. So Meadows throws a tantrum, and he keeps saying, my colleague to the right, that's Democrat. They're not interested in getting to the bottom of this. They're interested in getting the dirt so they can broker it. Sell out guys like Moynihan, sell out guys like Doyle, sell out good case agents in the FBI, IRS, CID, who are trying to do the right thing. Sell these guys out so that when they get subpoenas, they get to the point where maybe they're showing up on somebody's doorstep, all the evidence is gone or it's been compromised or witnesses have been coerced. This is the DC game. This is how it works. You don't see the stuff in the movies, right? Because a lot of people don't know how it works. Let me give you an example of Meadows and all your GOP heroes you see on Fox, and you think these guys really care, right? We gave all these guys similar information on FBI corruption. Meadows, Nunez, Senator Johnson. What's the guy with the bad wig? Trey Gowdy. List goes on and on. All Jim Jordan. All your favorite GOPers. They wanted intel on who and what the DOJ and FBI were doing during the time of this during the time of the Trump investigation, the spying and everything. We provided them with tons of intel on what was going on. They said, well, we're going to give it to the Inspector General. So keep it under wraps. Now, don't say anything. Some of the stuff you might be planning to do articles on, please don't do articles on or stories on or break stories on this stuff, because it could compromise the investigation if we're giving it to the Inspector General and you'll tip these people off. Okay. That sounds good, right? It's just a story. Our perspective, a true pundit myself, is I'd rather see these fuckers in jail than get some scoop the last 2 days so I can pat myself on the back. So yeah, we can wait. Sounds good on paper. So compare this with what's going on with this Moynihan and Doyle thing. Time goes by, nothing happens. They come back, these guys. Well, I mean, they come back and they say, look, we like what you have to say and what your people are saying, but we need to know who these people are in FBI. In justice, in the State Department. We need to know who these people are so we can vet your story. So give us your sources and we'll protect them. Because we want to talk to them too. So I say, oh, okay. No problem. I'll give you my sources. Like a reporter, right? I'm supposed to give them. I said, here's my source. Go fuck yourself. Are you insane? Who do you think you're dealing with here? You're not getting anything from me. Now the very fact that you asked for that, to me, is a telltale sign that you're a corrupt son of a bitch. And they don't like when you say that. Why would you ever need to know my sources? I'll tell you why. Because they're going to sell these people down the river behind the scenes. And this is how people end up on a concrete slab. Younger journalists that would fold and think that they're helping the country. These fuckers are all corrupt. You're seeing it on display here. 5-6-fold. Why do you need to know my sources? You don't need to know my sources. Just send the intel up the flagpole. This is what they do. They buy and sell information behind the scenes. They curry favor. They sell people out, right? Where does that leave me? I'm the guy holding the bag when somebody ends up on a slab or two bullets in their head in a park like Vince Foster or Gary Webb, and they say, oh, it's a suicide. It's another miracle suicide. Two shots to the head. This is what happens. You got a guy like Meadows in this committee hearing throwing a tantrum because he can't get the same information so they can buy and sell and broker pieces of information off so everybody can be protected. This is a protection racket. I've said it 10 times, 20 times, 30 times. This is a protection racket. This is a criminal cartel. They're all involved. They sit up in their mahogany desks and they pretend like they're in this ivory tower and, oh, you need to do this. Oh, and you're about truth and justice and all this stuff. Let me tell you about truth and justice. They come to us and they say, hey, what's going on? We hear all the us, me. What's going on? They we hear all this stuff going on with the FBI, and you're tweeting about the FBI's having these secret meetings and things like that to coordinate or to talk about, to discuss strategy regarding spying on Trump, paying for the dossier, concocting the dossier. And we say, yeah, here are the dudes that are at the meetings, and here's some dates. Okay? Like, holy shit, this is like a secret society. I said, well, that's a good way to put it. It's like a secret society. Okay. What are you going to do about it? We say, oh, we're going to give this to the inspector general so maybe they can get up on their comms, their phones, their emails, and we can figure out if there's some kind of a, like a group, like an organized group, organized crime, like a cartel. I said, there is. I just told you there is. So I say, so your plan with the information is to go and give this discreetly to the inspector general so that they can investigate, because they're asking me for more information. Gimme, 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 right? They don't give you shit, but you have to give them everything. Just like when on every April 15th. Gimme more money, gimme more money. Fuck off, right? So they say, yeah, that's what we're going to do. So we supply them with some more dates and some more names of people that were at meetings, McCabe and this whole crew. And even more stuff, you know, even going as far as former New York AG Eric Schneiderman and this whole cabal. There's federal judges on an email list, and there's prosecutors in the DOJ. They're all on this email list, this listserv, and they're talking about how they're going to take Trump out. We supply them all this stuff. Literally, I'm not kidding. Now, remember, this is the crew who just lectured Moynihan, former DEA, former justice guy, at this oversight meeting. Oh, we thought you were all for law and order and justice. This is the same crew, right? Literally 30 minutes after we tell them this stuff on the sly, like, look, all right, yeah, look into it. And we won't publish anything on it, right? That's their big caveat. There's an embargo on breaking stories while they look into it. They're buying fucking time for their friends. We know that now. This was a great experiment. We knew it at the time. I knew it at the time. I said, all right, yeah, we'll play along. Surprise me. Show me that you're not corrupt. Show me that you're not a piece of shit. Show me that you're not a greedy bastard. They never disappoint. They never disappoint. They did exactly what we thought they would do and exactly what I wanted them to do. Because to me, I'm showing the younger guys here involved in this operation that I know exactly what they're going to do and when they're going to do it and how they're going to do it. And that they're not about getting to the bottom of these things. They're about making money, cutting deals, cutting favors, covering each other's ass, regardless of party. Party has nothing to do with it. There's only one party down there. Simple, plain and simple. But this went beyond my wildest imagination. Even I was surprised by what happened. After one of these sessions where we, no pun intended, where we talk and we give these guys intel about these guys going on behind the scenes. It's not just us. There's other news organizations involved. Fox reporters, other reporters that are in the mix that are giving them information. And they're telling everybody, hold off, hold off, hold off. And you do it as a courtesy. A lot of these young reporters do it because they think, oh, you know, I'm doing good. I'm making connections. These guys are going to hook me up later. I know they're going to hook me up because I'm hooking them up. It's a good connection to have, a congressman. Good connection to have, a U.S. senator. If I hook them up, they'll hook me up. Never works out that way, though, in reality. I'll show you exactly what happened. It was insane. 30 minutes after one of these sessions, my phone starts ringing. I start getting texts. Turn on Fox. Turn on Fox. Turn on Fox. I turn on Fox. Senator Johnson from Wisconsin is on Fox saying, we got these guys. we got them in a secret society. They're all guilty. They're conspiring. And I'm sitting there thinking, what the fuck is this? This is what they wanted, TV time, FaceTime. That's what they're going to do with the intel. They just blew the whole fucking op. If you're going to work an op, you don't go on national TV and tip the other side off. Now the whole thing's ruined. This guy's a jackass, Senator Johnson. And what happens? I'll tell you what happens. Because he didn't have his ducks in a row, he really didn't know what he was talking about. He got beat up the next 2 days saying the guy's a crackpot. Johnson's a crackpot. He's a conspiracy theorist. He talked about this stuff. He didn't have answers, right? When the reporters pepper you with questions. And then he did other subsequent interviews and he didn't have answers. He came off as a jackass because he went off half-cocked on national TV. And then the media is able to spin things to say that there's no secret society. These people weren't working together. It's this crackpot from Wisconsin with a guy with a block of fucking cheese on his head doesn't know what he's talking about. And we're sitting back. I'm sitting back here laughing. And some of the younger guys are like, dude, what are you laughing at? I said, this even went beyond my wildest imaginations. These guys are completely either stupid or corrupt or both. Now, you can infer maybe Johnson was just blowing the whole thing up to cover for his friends as soon as possible. Or he's just a moron. Either way, we don't work with these people anymore. And this is the back game. This is life behind the curtain when you're exchanging intel. And this is what they want. You watch this thing with Meadows and Moynihan. This is a U.S. congressman who's the head of the oversight committee throwing an adult tantrum that he can't get the intel they have so that they can broker it and sell it behind the scenes and sell people out and protect other people, more importantly. In exchange for favors, money, stock tips, whatever, however they make their millions behind the scenes illicitly. Now, you put that in your hat when you finish this podcast. You start to learn how things really work in D.C. And you start to understand that what you see on TV is make-believe. You have a better understanding how corrupt this country is. And take it from me, this stuff is not fabricated. This is 100% true. I was thinking about writing it in my book. But I said, you know what, there'll probably be another book down the road, and let's just see if these guys do anything with it. Look at Huber. They sent this guy the intel 3 times. This dope lost it, or it was destroyed, or whatever, and they never did anything. He was supposed to be investigating the Clinton Foundation. They never even did anything with it. Nothing. Thousands of pages of evidence. Nothing. Not one thing. Never followed up. I talked to guys in justice. This is still ongoing. This is the breaking news of the show. I'm looking into this case and come across a U.S. tax court filed in D.C., Moynihan, his name pops up, and it's against the Clinton Foundation, which means that the IRS told them to beat it, and then the appeal process upon research is that these guys, Moynihan and Doyle, file a suit in U.S. tax court, and they say, hey, the IRS is not listening to us, so we want a federal judge to rule on this and come down on our side and show that the Clinton Foundation owes $2.5 billion to the Treasury, and we want our money. And I talked to some lawyers and some other stuff and folks in justice, and this is where it gets really interesting. These cases almost never survive when they go to tax court. They're thrown out. You look at the docket, the IRS filed, you know, motions for summary judgment, all this stuff. And it's like, normally those cases get tossed and dismissed. This one did not. And then I see on the docket, like a motion to strike filed by Moynihan side. Plaintiff side files a motion to strike based on motion to strike against the IRS based on pleadings from the IRS's general counsel in the case. And I immediately say, hey, I got to get my hands on this, because that usually means somebody's calling somebody a liar, or, hey, you perjured yourself in court papers. It's somewhat rare to see it. And it immediately piqued my curiosity, okay? But here's the deal. I can't see any of this stuff. And neither can you. The court case is sealed. Everything is sealed. All you can see is generalities on the docket. Now, I told you guys, I used to live in the vault of court houses. So I can read between these lines of this stuff and see what's going on and know that there's some definite strife. Now, I can't get these guys to tell me what's going on up in Mass, okay, because it's sealed. Nobody's talking about anything. I have to understand, why would a court seal a case against a public charity? This doesn't involve anybody's private taxes or anything like that. I would presume it doesn't, okay? Why is this case sealed? The IRS came in and said, we can't believe these guys filed in tax court. This is crazy. No one ever files in tax court. And now it's survived. We need to seal this whole thing up. So you can't even see the exhibits and things, whatever these guys had. Remember everything Congress wanted? Meadows, gimme, 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 gimme. You can't see any of that stuff. And they just thought, oh, yeah, we're just entitled to it because we're in Congress. And how dare you come in here and not give us your entire case so that we can sell you down the river as soon as you leave. We can't see any of that either. It's a public case in U.S. tax court. And they locked it down. Just like the FBI didn't do anything. The Justice Department didn't do anything with the information, right? None of these guys did anything. Huber didn't do anything. If these guys gave these docs to Meadows and his crew of weirdos in the House, they wouldn't have done anything but sold everybody out, right? Now, the IRS says, we got to lock this thing down. It's crazy. Obviously, that's what's going on. They have to hide it. It's so bad, I think they have to hide it. And that's based on conversations I've had with Justice, okay? They're saying in Justice, this case is a nuclear bomb because this was supplied to Justice. You heard that in testimony. This was already given to Justice, so it's already filtered through Justice. That means Barr knows all about it. Okay? And Barr, just like Sessions, told Huber, forget about it. This thing is a nightmare. These guys sold everybody down the river. This is what I'm getting from Justice. And this is what's in that lawsuit. I bet my ass on it. It's going to come out. It all comes out. It always comes out. Okay? But it's under protective seal. Why? We're paying for this. We're underwriting, according to these guys, at least $2.5 billion of taxes that we had to pay. Guys like you and me and your kids, we're paying that while these guys are cruising around the world on private jets fucking around with Epstein and all this stuff, right? We're paying for that. And now the entire apparatus of the United States government is protecting these guys, including the Barr Justice Department. Are you starting to get the memo here, folks? Remember in the movie Office Space? Did you not get the memo? I mean, everybody in the government has gone out of the way to protect the Clintons on this. It must be the exact kind of dirt that we've been writing about in recent weeks, about how these guys ripped off everybody, used the Clinton Foundation basically to heist money from charities and the U.S. government, and we will find out how they did it, because we're on the trail, where they got the money from, how much they took, etc. We will figure that out, but it's one step at a time when you're a small group, and I don't want to end up in a ditch like Jessica Savage, that kind of thing, right? So you have to tread lightly, and you have to be smart about it, be very calculating, but everybody's covering up for this, okay? It would have been no different if they gave the intelligence to Meadows and the Oversight Committee. They just would have sold these guys down the river. It was a smart move not to give it to them. So I'm thinking that, hey, now they got a court case going. It seems the judge is intrigued enough to keep it going. And I'd like to see it unsealed. Why can't we see? Why can't this be unsealed? Why is everything sealed up? I mean, we know why it's sealed up, right? There must be really bad stuff in there. I mean, we know there's bad stuff in there, obviously. Justice is telling us that these guys ran a international cartel and stole money from everybody, and there's probably some rich and famous people involved here and very influential people, and they don't want to be embarrassed, right? Major business folks around the world and in the United States that were aligned with these political criminals, the Clintons and their Sanhedrin of weirdos and cheats and crooks. That's the problem, right? The rich and famous are all connected to these guys. So that's why it's sealed. And that's why the FBI didn't do anything with it. And Justice didn't do anything with it. And Huber didn't do anything with it. And that's why Barr has the U.S. tax court lock everything down. They don't want this information out. And that's why Meadows wanted all the documents so they could protect everybody behind the scenes. Don't kid yourself. This is a massive cover-up. It's massive. Look at the extremes they've gone to keep this hidden from you. People say, oh, does that mean no one's going to get indicted? Are you kidding me? You don't think the FBI guys like Comey and McCabe know all about this and are saying, yeah, come at me, bro. And I'll just start telling everybody about how much money you stole from everybody and everybody that's in on it. They have all the documents. Plus, they have more than that. They conducted investigations and then covered that up. And specifically told Huber, according to our guys, don't touch this. This is plutonium. This is radioactive. It's going to take everybody down. Don't touch it. Bury it. Pretend like it doesn't exist. You heard the testimony about Huber. This guy's a U.S. attorney in Utah. Look, the guys in justice, guys in intel, high place guys, these aren't chumps, are saying this thing could turn into a real nightmare. If the IRS did a proper audit on all this, they'd probably find out that the numbers are $3 or $4 billion or higher in taxes that are owed. And this doesn't even include, okay, this is the catch. That's just taxes that are owed, okay? money that was taken from different people is a whole nother realm. That's what they don't want out. They don't give two shits about the taxes. Right? They should. Fuck, how much did they go after Al Capone for? It wasn't $2.5 billion. That's how they got Capone. But they care that information will be released about them stealing money. I know that's probably in that lawsuit. It has to be. And eventually it'll come out, okay? Where they took the money, how they took the money, who they fleeced, who they conned, big corporate mogul types who were involved, whether they knew it or not, they're implicated. Be a PR disaster for the beautiful people. If this nightmare comes out, there's going to be problems all over the world. We already know that there's been flare-ups in Norway, Switzerland, a little bit in Australia, New Zealand, the UK. It's all starting to heat up. And, of course, the U.S., if we're talking about U.S. courts here, U.S. taxes. The walls are closing in. And when I see that a tax court case on a public charity is sealed, the hair on the back of my neck stands up. As a child of the courthouse, Listen, when I got out of journalism, the first day I finished journalism, I said, I'm fucking out of here. Goodbye. I went to work on a job for the FBI the next day. I don't even think I got a day off. The next day, you know what they said to me? Look, we have this case, this mortgage case, criminal mortgage case, and I'm not lying. And they said, we don't know what the hell we're doing in a courthouse. This is an FBI in New Jersey. Will you take our agents to the courthouse and show them how to research this stuff? Deeds, mortgages in county courthouses. I said, absolutely not. What is this, fucking Quantico? I said, you tell me what you need, and I got a team, and we'll do it. I don't have time to teach you guys this stuff, right? If you're going to hire me as a contractor, I'll do it for you. And we'll pull any deed you need or whatever you need, and we can work fast. I don't have time to babysit federal agents. And they put a case together against a major mortgage company, and they got a lot of indictments. We did all the work. We pulled the deeds. We connected the dots. And these guys, we gave them everything on a silver platter, and we were paid very well, right? So I know courthouses, and I know docs, and I know dockets. And what I see happening in the U.S. tax court is big news. There's something going on there that's massive. And I'm telling you, it plays right into everything we've been talking about. Like, these guys loaded up a 757 belonging to the Justice Department with documents in Little Rock, Arkansas. Where are the documents? They loaded them up. They flew them back to Virginia from Little Rock. Loaded it up by the IRS and the FBI criminal investigators. So, did they use these documents to investigate something? Or did they just decide, you know what, we need to destroy these documents or we need to put them somewhere so no one ever sees these things? Those are the questions you have to ask. Now, as an American, with what we know about the Justice Department, the FBI, and the protection racket that I've been laying out for well over a year now on patreon.com/truepundit, this isn't like a new revelation. This is just a new massive wrinkle in it. These folks stole billions of dollars from a lot of different people, including us. When she was Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, this all went down. Okay. Now here's the kicker. A couple weeks ago, Barr says, oh, there's nothing to see with this Clinton Foundation Huber investigation. Okay. Meanwhile, you got federal agents who were looking into this evidence and saying, yeah, there's a lot of stuff here. And then these guys come out officially and say, nah, there's nothing there to pursue from a justice standpoint. So we're just going to wrap this up. And if you're an agent working on a case, you just got sandbagged by your boss. And these guys are saying, oh, these guys, meaning DOJ, Barr, his whole crew is saying, yeah, these guys are clean as a whistle. But the reality is, behind the scenes, folks are saying, these guys are master criminals, man. These guys stole a lot of money, not only from our government, but from other governments. And they're giving us a... The Clintons continue to be a pox on this country, and they're giving us a bad name globally. And it's going to come out, not just us as Americans, but I can almost guarantee they were mixed up with some really influential people who want to keep this under wraps. And the Clintons aren't the only ones putting pressure on their friends in the government to make sure this stays invisible and goes away. And sure as shit, we talked about Hunter Biden and the Bidens in Ukraine, right? And how I said that the $1 million was like a joke, that this is the narrative that they're selling. $1 million. Hunter Biden took $1 million. And it came out today that Barr is going to do a review of the Ukraine information. The DOJ is going to do a review using the U.S. Attorney's Office in Pittsburgh, just like he's using the U.S. Attorney's Office in Connecticut to do a review. Suddenly, the Department of Justice is fucking Siskel and Ebert doing a review. These guys have more reviews. Barr has more reviews than Star Wars. Whatever happened to a grand jury? Let them do a review after you have competent investigators from the FBI conduct a probe, a review. What the hell is going on here? It's not how things work. That's the equivalent of a politician saying, we're going to form a committee, fact-finding committee, and get to the bottom of this. And then we're going to do a paper on it. We need a committee or a blue ribbon commission to figure out what the hell's going on here. We're going to get to the bottom of this. It's the last thing I do. A review? What the hell is that? Where's the grand jury? Where are the subpoenas? Where are the interviews? Yeah, we need the same group of Poindexters who just tried to stuff Roger Stone in federal prison for a decade, when the sentencing guidelines called for about 30% of that, you know, maybe 3 years based on the sentencing guidelines, a very thick book that the Justice Department and prosecutors are supposed to use to compile, to use as a fair barometer to decide how long somebody goes away to prison for. We need more dopes like this who take the law into their own hands to conduct a quote-unquote review so that everybody can get fucking off scot-free. That's what we need, a review by guys like this. You know, Barr, by doing these little reviews, these little one-night reviews in these cities, this guy is like P.T. Flea's traveling circus, right? Barr can lock down, you know, potential leaks by not having a lot of FBI types in it, who get pissed off when they get sold down the drain and their work gets sold down the drain. If he keeps it to a handful of quote-unquote loyal prosecutors, then he doesn't have to worry about it leaking out. They can just sell the case down the river, make sure everybody's protected, and they don't have to worry about any blowback or backdraft from federal agents who call guys like me and other folks and say, hey, this is messed up. These guys should be in jail. Like, and guys like Huber aren't doing anything. And guys like Barr aren't doing anything. So by doing these reviews, he minimizes collateral damage and also potential leaks when they decide to tie this up with, tie this latest bag of dog shit up with a pretty Christmas bow and try to sell it to us as, nothing to worry about, right? That's what's going to happen with the Ukraine thing and Biden. This is why you're seeing the tug of war right now. Trump is trying to get control of the Justice Department. I said it in the last couple of weeks. He's not in control. He's not running things. The people he's put in place are not operating in his best interest. Maybe now with things going on, he's starting to understand that. It's hard to say. But these people have gotten away with murder, man. And there's so many moving parts and so many people involved. I don't even know how big it is or how deep it goes, but it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger as we dig into it, as more people tell us stuff, as you put the pieces together like we just did today. This is a big thing. What does it say about your government when they go to such great lengths to protect a small group of people? Imagine what they're really covering up. Imagine the secrets they all know on each other, the dirt, the crimes, beyond finances. Money is one thing, but imagine the sick things that these people have on each other and the fact that they keep these in their back pocket for a rainy day to use as leverage, extortion. We have sick people running our government and, in essence, our lives, willing to sell you down the river to protect a small group of elites, wealthy, famous, rich. I've been hearing for a long time about a plan. This is a plan. That's a plan. Follow the plan. Folks, here's the plan. As much money as they can steal from you, anybody else, and get away with it. As many laws as they can break. Whatever they have to do to stay in the elite class while the rest of us peasants scurry around in our own little rat race. Probably entertaining them in the process. That's the plan. You get ripped off. They profit. They prosper. They go to Washington broke. They come out millionaires connected. They're in the club. Where does that plan leave you? If you don't wake up, you're fucked.
From the air.